And here we go, back at it again. Another edition of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNRadio.com as we broadcast live from Studio A in the Tribune Tower on the 7th floor here on the Magnificent Mile. I am Mike Jacobson. Man to my right is Scott King. You can follow him at Scott King Media on Twitter. You can follow me at Jacobson Radio on Twitter. Best of all, you can follow all of our content at facebook.com/blackhawkscrazy and wgnradio.com/blackhawks. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. I had a nice Halloween. Took Lucy trick-or-treating for the first time.
You got youngins, and she's not quite... Is she two?
I can't remember. She's two.
She is two years old. Okay.
And
what did she go as?
She was the elephant from Sing named Mina.
No.
I don't know if you've watched that in your spare time.
I love that movie. I went to the theater and saw that.
Get out of here.
With my girlfriend. My idea.
Did you really?
And it was probably one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. It was just fun. The whole story came together. Cool characters.
I can't compliment you enough. First of all, she wants to watch it like every day.
I have a big kid. I can imagine.
No, so like I agree. It's funny. It's a good movie. I'm not tired of it yet. I think it's like a really good movie.
It's amazing how kids' movies have evolved
over
the
years. They make them for adults.
They really are for adults now.
The humor's for adults.
Whether it's Finding Nemo or I saw Finding Dory too, which I thought was a lot of fun.
This is a whole side to you I didn't know existed.
Yeah, I'm a big kid. Kid at heart. But no,
it's really endearing.
That's a great movie.
Sing is awesome.
Did you dress up?
I did not. Neither did my wife.
Oh, so
It was all about Lucy. She did pretty good.
I was going to say, how long did she go?
Went around our block maybe for like 15, 20 minutes.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all for a 2-year-old who gets tired, but
a little chilly too.
She liked the idea of getting candy, but someone gave her pretzels and she was hungry, so she wanted to eat the pretzels right away. A couple houses later, some nice older man gave her candy and she goes, "I want a pretzel." To the poor guy. So we had a good laugh at that. But and you guys
good
dressed
laugh.
Up on Cochrane Show. You guys had Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
costumes.
We had a Game of Thrones theme going on. So we have a bunch of pictures if you want to check them out.
I shared them on Twitter. I thought they were so cool. Everybody looked good.
WGNRadio.com. You can find that underneath the Cochrane Show page. Yeah, I am not a fan of the show. I shouldn't say I'm a fan. I'm not a fan. I've just never watched it. I've heard it's awesome, and it is on our to-do list to watch. We actually finally have an HBO Go situation where I stole my friend's password and his username.
You could ask me for mine. I would give it to you.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Sure.
That's really sweet.
I trust you with it.
I feel like we're bonding right now in between microphones.
Well, I mean, you talk about watching kids' movies. That's, that's my life
We're bonding in between two mics. Could be like a new segment.
All we need is two mics.
In between two mics, like in between two ferns. But no, I was Joffrey. I was dressed, and I'm just reading up on him now because we were talking about this a little before we cracked the mics.
Not the nicest guy.
Oh, the Wikipedia definition for him, by the way. For one thing, he looks like a blonde little crap. You know what I mean?
First of all, let me stop you there. Do you recognize that actor? Maybe picture him a little younger. Had a very brief role in one of the best trilogies in the last few years.
No. Which one?
Commissioner Gordon's son in Batman. I don't know if he's been Batman Begins. He's in The Dark. He's in Dark Knight.
Yeah. Okay. I've seen
he's
Dark
the kid
Knight.
He's the kid who's sitting by the window and Batman comes and visits him right before the end.
Okay.
That's Joffrey.
Yeah, he's... Well, supposedly, again, his description on Game of Thrones and the man that I dressed up as yesterday, overindulged and cowardly, this young king has a cruel streak, particularly when it comes to those who are vulnerable.
He's not a good kid. It's funny that they had you throw the costume. Yeah, I wonder if they don't see the same side that I'm seeing today.
I have a feeling they were throwing something my way by making me dress up as him. But no, we had a lot of fun doing it. Cochran was dressed up as, I don't know, I don't even know what he was.
He was the... religious leader, I think, right?
Yeah, I don't know. He was basically in a big robe.
High Sparrow. I think he was the High Sparrow.
That's right. Yes. That's right. Yeah. So, and then everybody else dressed up, which was a lot of fun. Dave Bennett kind of looked like, as Cochran said, Liberace. He had this very shiny
outfit. I didn't know you were Joffrey. That's why I was asking people if they could tell what your outfit was on Twitter. I thought you were like a pirate genie or something. I did not know.
I'm not kidding. I put on that. I thought I was Aladdin when I put that on.
Is Aladdin in Game of Thrones?
I'm like, wait a minute. I thought we were doing a Game of Thrones thing. I'm not Jafar. What was his name? Jafar?
Yeah, that could have been Jafar.
That's what this felt like. But it was a very... So if you want to see those pictures, you can go to WGNRadio.com/Cochran. So you probably had a better day, and so did I, than Joel Quenneville and the Blackhawks yesterday. He was a little testy at practice and skated off the ice the whole nine yards. You had an eyewitness account of this. It was an interesting day. at open skate yesterday for the Blackhawks. Go ahead and indulge us.
It was, yeah. Just, you know, it was a normal practice. It started like a normal practice, carry on like a normal practice. And I've been covering the team, practices at least, since I started working for Red Eye in 2013. And you throw games in there, too. I've never seen Joel blow up at the players.
This worked up.
You know, you could say everything's coming to a head, obviously losing five of the last six games, but it was a normal practice. Guys were light. Kane scored a nice goal off of a Taves feed in a drill, and guys were clapping. And, you know, then all of a sudden, Quinville has them skating laps, you know, like suicides. And you never see that. And then they go in their post-practice huddle, usually, you know, a few nice words and stick tap, and they're done. And you see Quinville waving his hands around. You know, you could tell there were some not-so-nice words being said. And, yeah, he skated off. He walked right out of there, and that doesn't happen either usually. And first we talked to the players about it. And
what was their initial reaction?
The initial reaction is what happens at practice is after that group huddle and a stick tap, they kind of shoot around and work on whether stick handling, face-offs. They get a little extra work in before they go to the locker room. So about 2 minutes before they did that, it was completely silent, the whole United Center. Because, again, it just never happens. Quinville yells at refs all the time. He gets worked up during games, but you never see him yell at the players as a group, and especially not at practice. So when we talked to the players in the locker room, I think Kane was the first to be asked about it, and he was very tight-lipped. He appeared angry, and he didn't want to get into specifics. He said, well, I don't know what you saw or heard. I don't know what Joe's feeling. But as a group, there's some things we need to address type response. And I think it's good Kane's pissed off. I think maybe that's what Joel was going for, is that, you know, things have been light. And a lot of times you need that kind of, you know, lightness and fun and positive attitude. But when you lose your last five of six and you got swept in the first round of the playoffs and things really seem to be going downhill, especially after a great start, you need guys to get pissed off and you need your leaders to get pissed off, because these new kids need to see what's the right attitude to have and the right way to play. And it has been an effort thing, which is why they're in this slump. You know, other guys, Sharp just said, you know, obviously suicides aren't fun. I think Cody Franzen said the same thing, but very interesting, and I think it's a sign of the times.
Essentially, it's like the high school football coach that gets ticked off at their team and says, start doing laps.
Yeah, and look,
and
I don't think...
stop until I tell you.
Exactly.
That's exactly what happened yesterday. And
suicides.
I've seen this, you know, covering different teams, more specifically the Anaheim Ducks when I was out there, and I've seen Bruce Boudreau blow up at the team, do the same sort of thing, run suicides. And I've seen him do it twice when I was there.
Oh, wow.
The first time, it had a terrible effect where they ended up losing four games in a row after that.
Oof.
And they had already lost three in a row, so it ended up being a seven-game losing streak.
Yeah.
But then another time he did it, I remember it was a six-game streak. A six-game losing streak. Well, I shouldn't say complete losing streak. They did get a couple of points in there, but, you know, overtime losses. And it was... It was interesting to see how they rebounded that time, because then they ended up, I think, rattling off five or six games in a row after that. So it was it was like, lost six, won five, or something like that. I can't remember. So I've seen it work both ways, when these blowups can be a very positive thing or it could be a negative.
That's a great point. You bring up a great point. What kind of effect is this going to have on a team? Is it going to be, do they get, you know, negative and down now that the head coach is unhappy and that they need to be unhappy? Or do they just start playing, and does it light a fire? And the interesting thing, too, is that you can tell Quinville didn't plan this. He didn't, you know, in his head and with the other coaching staff, he didn't go, oh, you know, we're in a slump. We lost our last five of six. The power plays, you know, at an all-time worst. I'm going to yell at the guys and get them amped up. No, he said that he didn't like the way practice ended. He said intensity was missing towards the end of practice, and it was hard to watch, is what he said. And I think he also kind of referenced that same intensity is needed in games, obviously. So I think he saw something and he didn't like it. And he's like, you know what? We've been playing bad. I don't like what I just saw. It's time to let the guys know. And
yeah.
I think that's exactly what happened.
And they have picked up a few points along the way, because there have been overtime losses mixed in there. So it hasn't been a complete, you know,
they're 5-5-2. It's not, you know, it's not everybody panic, but it is definitely a slump, and Kane admitted that it's a slump and they need to get out of it.
And sometimes you do. I mean, he's a veteran coach. He's been around forever. He's coached on several teams, and he knows, and as a player, you know, sometimes you need the main guy to light a fire under you.
Yeah.
Your, you know, under your ass.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he did. And I actually tipped my hat to him, and he actually seemed to have calmed down. He was on the station this morning on the Steve Cochran Show. You can also catch that interview at WGNradio.com/Blackhawks. And he seemed to calm down. And he basically said, you know, yeah, I was ticked off and this is what happened. I hope it lights a fire, and we'll see tonight, starting with the Flyers at the United Center. So, I mean, and they had some tough opponents within this.
They've had a hard schedule.
Losing streak,
another
by
good
the
point.
Way.
Yeah,
I mean, it has not been an easy road by any means. You know, you look back at some of the losses that they had. You know, Minnesota, Nashville, Edmonton. I mean, these are all good teams.
And on the same hand, they beat some
Nashville,
good teams. They beat Montreal. They beat Nashville. They beat Columbus. They beat Pittsburgh. So, yeah, and, again,
yeah,
don't panic.
That,
but
prior
get
to
out
that,
of this.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Saturday night's loss to the Avalanche was pretty ugly.
It was a really bad
one. That was an ugly game.
And that was the one
that's
a
bad team.
You could point the finger at everybody, too. Anton Forsberg, who looked good in his first two starts, they should have got at least one win for him, both overtime losses. He looked really bad. Crawford had to come in, who played the night before.
And I think
that's never good.
And I think – oh, never. And I think that Avalanche loss, too, it's a little more personal for Joel Quenneville.
Sure.
Obviously, spent some time there as a coach. He still resides there in the offseason for the most part. He's got a home in Denver. Loves skiing. So that's, I mean, I think you take it, it was just that, maybe that little bit, that personal touch that maybe pushed him over the edge. And then a little lackadaisical practice comes along, and eventually you're gonna lose your, you know what.
That's it, yeah.
So I think it's going to be a positive thing, and I actually think they're going to rebound from this. They have enough veteran guys on that team, whether it be Kane or Taves or Sharp, or guys that have been around him long enough, Keith, Seabrook, whoever it may be, that are going to maybe also, you know, take a role in this and say, hey, guys, let's get our act together here. It's early in the season. 5 or 6, yeah. 3 in a row, yeah. But let's not make this a trend.
Yeah.
Let's turn it around here. They got a great opportunity tonight against the Flyers.
We'll see what they do tonight. It's a huge game
because of what happened. It really is. I mean, and then, you know, they've also made some line changes, and this isn't, you know, this is very normal for a Joel Quenneville team. He changes the lines all the time. He'll probably change them up a couple times during the game tonight. What did you think of some of the adjustments that they had made over this past weekend?
Well, look, I like DeBrincat on the top line still. He had a chance there before and keep him there, let him develop. He's a skilled guy. That's a problem the Blackhawks have had before when you have to throw at Teravainen and maybe Panarin. Not quite Panarin, but when you throw a guy like Teravainen or other skilled guys on the bottom six, that they're not developing because they're skilled guys, just play with other skilled guys. So I like DeBrincat up there on the top line. Don't forget how good Saad and Kane played together before.
Yeah.
And so they're back together
they're
now.
Back
Saad's
together.
Dropping down, so DeBrincat can go up. Hayden, I like him going up to the third line. He crashes the net. Tough guy. Sorry, had a couple of good scraps. Good shot. Crashes the net. I like how he plays. He plays well defensively. And Hartman, you can kind of take it as a punishment that he's going down to the fourth line, but he's a good player. He's capable of being a good player. So he can add some, not just physicality to that fourth line that's had plenty of that already, but he could add some scoring to that fourth line. So I like it, but I will say I think there's a cause for concern about how much the lines have been changing this early, especially last week after you put up 44 shots against the Predators. You end up losing, but it's 44 shots against a good team. And, and you know, in most cases, a lot more of those are going to go in, and you're not going to lose. So I would have liked to see Joel keep the lines for that game intact after that loss. But, you know, maybe these will hit tonight. Maybe he'll like these. But I think they have been changing too much.
What would you say is the scariest part of this little – and again, this is a very minor skid, and it's very early in the season still. But what would you say is the scariest part in this slump thus far? Something that stands out to you, whether it be defensive, whether it be, you know, just not getting enough out of the power play, whatever it may be.
Yeah. No, and we said tonight's the chance to completely end it and get out of it.
Exactly.
And at least start to crawl out of the hole tonight versus the Flyers. But I think the scary thing is that it's an effort thing. It's that, you know, your main guys are going out there and it doesn't look like they're putting everything into it and leaving everything on the ice. And that's scary because you have so many new guys. You have a bunch of freshmen and sophomore players, guys on defense and offense, and they need to lead the way for them. So I think that effort is scary. I think that really, really needs to get turned up tonight, and I think that's why you saw Quenneville blow up. And look, the power play, I do think it's worse than it's been in a long, long time, but they have won cups with a bad power play as long as they have a good PK. And they do have a good PK this year. So,
which is was a problem last year.
Right, exactly. So you fix one thing at least. I think another positive that you can take away from this slump and the way they've been playing is every time I look, it's got to be almost every game they're winning in faceoffs. That was another problem last year. So you have they're not hurting for centers. Tanner Caro has been sitting the last few games, and he's a good dependable center for your bottom six. So they're not hurting for centers, and guys are winning faceoffs. That's a positive. Even with the new crackdown on faceoffs, how many times you've seen Jonathan Toews get tossed out of the circle?
Yeah,
and he's not happy about it. So
no.
they're doing well there. That leads to possession, and the other scary thing, besides just kind of the overall effort specifically, is their possession. They're getting the puck, they're getting the offensive zone, and after about one play, sometimes not even a shot on net, it's back in their end. So they have to hold on to it better, have to protect the puck better, develop better plays.
Real quick before we head out west, Forsberg, concerning? Backup situation, something that they might need to address before the trade deadline? Or
I think one bad game. I think you look at his first two games, solid.
I mean, he really was. The first...
He looked good. And
I heard a lot of people on social media spewing that out there.
Yeah.
Oh, now we don't even have a backup. It's one game.
You listen to Bowen has to take those calls now after games that Judd used to have to do. And people are drunk, but people are upset, and they want to just grab onto something. They see a goalie just let in a handful of goals, easy goals, so they want to grab onto that. But he had one bad game. He had two good games before that.
Give him
more of a chance.
Again, they got a chance tonight against the Flyers at the UC to get things back on track. It's the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here. I'm Mike Jacobson. He is Scott King here on WGNRadio.com. You can follow all of Scott's work, his blog, The Chelsea Blogger, on WGNRadio.com/Blackhawk. He's got a couple of really good recent posts that he put up there, including basically a play-by-play of what happened yesterday with Coach Q and his blow-up with the team. But let's have a little more positive news. How about a team that's 7-2 right now? How about a team that's really looking good? And that is your Rockford IceHogs. And we do a Rockford report each and every week with our associate, Brittany Toulis, who's interning for the team. We bring her in right now. Britt, what's happening?
Hey, guys.
Hello, Brittany.
Well, sadly, we are 7-3 now. We played last night.
Oh, that's right. So, I screwed that. That's right. Yeah. They are 7-3. That's right.
Sad day.
But still positive. I mean, they have looked really, really good.
Yeah.
And people, we kind of do the Hinostroza tracker each and every week. He's still looking pretty good.
He is. He's still playing well. I think his spirits are up. He knows that he's got to work to get back to the Blackhawks, and he's doing that work now. And you can definitely see. Same thing with Yurko.
And we'll get more into that in just a second. So what happened in this loss last night?
Well, we got ourselves in a little two-goal deficit. Again, we had the same thing happen last Friday, Saturday we managed to come back and win, whereas yesterday we did not. We tied it up and then let in a power play goal in the third, and that ended up being the game winner for Cleveland.
Brittany, how far ahead are the IceHogs in the division now?
Currently we are second because we have three losses and Milwaukee has two, but
wow.
Milwaukee has only played seven games and we've played 10. So we do have more points than them. We have 14 points. Milwaukee has 10, but they only have two losses. Hopefully three on Friday when we play them in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that gets tricky looking at the standings sometimes. Sounds like you're doing taxes.
Exactly. Like I had to like look and like that doesn't make – okay, well, that's all right. That's where we're going with it. We've had a pretty slam schedule in October.
The other thing that's interesting with when you look at standings for the AHL, they have that extra column for ties, right? So they have like four columns. Your team could be like 2-1-1-0 or something.
Yeah, it's like very confusing.
Crazy in the
AHL. So it's like overtime and then shootout. But if you win the overtime, it's a little confusing. But you get used to it as you go.
So, Brittany, they're still doing well. I mean, last time we talked to you, there was a real hot streak with a couple guys really playing well. Lost last night, but still up there in the standings. Last year, wasn't the case at all. They had a rough year last year. Scott Powers had a good story today about how, last season guys didn't even want to go to the rink in Rockford because things were that bad. You've been around and you've seen guys' attitudes now. What's changed that they're excited to play, that they want to play, even though that they're trying to get to Chicago? Have they been able to put that out of their mind? Why is everyone so happy there now and ready to play?
It just looks like they all kind of get along. They all have fun on the ice. I'll go up and watch their practices a lot. And although they are doing drills, a lot of the drills Colleton makes them do are almost games, like little fun games. My favorite is their it's like a shootout drill, but they also bet on each other. So you go to one side of the ice if you think they're going to make it, the other side if they're not. And if the person makes it, the people who are on the not side have to do like a suicide or a sprint. So it's still working in their like explosive speed and agility, but it's kind of a fun thing to do too. I don't know, it just seems like they all have fun. They're all cheering and goofing on, like goofing around on the ice. And then even off the ice, you can see them walking to and from the locker rooms, and they're, you know, smiling or talking. It just seems like they're having a good time here.
Well, and that's good, and that's kind of cool to have that loose atmosphere, but then also at the same time, they still get down to business. I mean, they're a good team, but they're having fun, and that's a good sign of things to come and to continue to build on that good record. How are they drawn, fan-wise?
Well, right now, we're competing with high school football out here. So high school football on Fridays are a big deal.
Friday Night Lights, it is a big deal.
I don't want your life.
Yeah.
Fire that pigskin.
So we're around the 3,000-ish mark.
So that's still drawn pretty good. That's fine. I mean, and just
not
wait
bad,
until, yeah,
bad.
And then once the Friday lights go out.
And again, you have a bunch of guys who are, you know, that did play for the Hawks and are going to play for them soon this year. I think Hinostroza is going to be there soon. So if anyone's thinking about going to Rockford, check out a game, do it. I've been to several. They're so fun.
Yeah, they're a good time.
Good stuff. Well, thanks for joining us, Brittany. And you staying warm out there? Because it's still pretty cold down here. I know last week we checked in with you, it was freezing. freezing. Just want to give you an update here back in Chicago.
You said because of the lack of buildings, Brittany, that it gets colder there, which I picture now. It's like Alaska.
I had to
there.
Go get my winter coat. I didn't have a winter coat last week. So when I was home in Chicago over the weekend, I had to like dig it out. And now I have to dig out gloves and a scarf because it is just awful. I hate winter.
Poor Brittany out there in Rockford.
I hate it.
Yeah, maybe next time you gotta maybe find a AHL team a little bit further south to intern for.
Something.
Could be.
Someplace warm, hire me.
Well, thanks, Britt. Hopefully we'll see you back here soon. You're doing a great job out there, and we appreciate each and every week you checking in with us.
It sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
All right, Brittany Tulis. Beautiful Rockford, giving us an update on the good old Ice Hogs, and they're looking good, and that's good to hear.
Yeah, maybe the Hawks should do those drills she was talking about.
Yeah,
where
no
they
kidding.
Bet and are all having fun, and at the same time enhancing their strength. That sounds good.
I think it does. Well, we have a little bit of time here, so we can do a couple of fan questions. And again, you can submit your fan questions. If people do them, we don't put it out there enough. We got to put it out more. But we are lucky enough to have such loyal fans that are 25,000 plus likes on our facebook.com/BlackHawksCrazy. They just submit questions, which is pretty cool. But we got to ask for more, and we're working on doing that. So for everybody that did submit questions for this week, we really appreciate it. And you can also do it on Twitter. Again, he is at Scott King Media. I am at Jacobson Radio. Let's see. First question from Ted Gruber, which is a great name, by the way. At Ted Gruber on Twitter says, does Seabrook's play bother you at all, Mr. King?
Yes. You know, I saved that.
How could you? How could it not?
Yes, that's very fair. That's something I saved for when you asked me what's scary is because I knew Ted asked this question. It is concerning, Seabrook, the way Seabrook's been playing, because he just looks heavy on his skates. He looks very slow. He's not just getting beat by forwards in their own zone, in their own end. He's getting smoked a lot of time. And look, Jonathan Toews is the face and brain of the Hawks, you could say. And you could say, especially since 2013 in that game 7 versus Detroit, Seabrook's the heart of the team. I think, you know, even before that, obviously you could say that going back to the first cup in 2010. So a guy that means that much to the locker room and to the team when he looks that slow and that immobile and he's having some rough games, it is concerning. He's a guy
who
needs to lead the way, especially like I said, there's young defensemen and forwards. So for those guys on defense who've been playing really well, and I think that's fair to say, they've been playing well, but he still needs to lead the way for the rest of the team. And not to you know, you don't want to crap all over the guy. He means a lot to the team. I think he has been actually shooting more, and I think his shot is great. I think if he continues to shoot more, that could certainly make up for some of his play defensively because he does have that great shot. So, you know, if he, you know, I don't know how much he can work on his speed right now in the middle of the season, but he does need to be quicker out there.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. And one more here really quick before we get out of here. This is from Derek. I know I'm going to butcher your name. Cialis?
I think it's Cialis.
Cialis. Just gonna let that one breathe, and let that one breathe, and then slowly walk away. It did get a laugh. This one's via Facebook. What happened to the stretch pass? I think maybe the Hawks have done three this season, maybe in the three in the last 11 games. That's what he's got his stats on.
Yeah, I think three is actually a good calculation there. I think that's about how many I've seen. You know, that's more of a skilled play. I know that's always like a highlight reel play, a fancy, nice fancy pass there. You might have seen the Hawks do that a little bit more in the last few seasons, but I still think, you know, that doesn't end up on NHL Network's top five or three plays or even on SportsCenter for no reason. That's kind of a rare thing, especially when it leads to a goal. So, you know, it's not that – that's not something I think they need to focus on. When that play's there, you'll have a Keith or even a Seabrook can make that play. They have the skill to make that play to a guy like Kane or Saad breaking out into the O-zone. But I think right now they still just need to concentrate on protecting the puck, crashing the net, and trying to get some pucks on net and generate those second and third chances and not turn it over right away. So that's a highly skilled play. Once they start to get confidence, which is holding on to the puck more, I think you'll see it happen.
And they'll have a chance to do it tonight. National game, by the way, NBC Sports.
Is it quote-unquote rivalry nights?
It is rivalry night.
They take teams that are like kind of rivals, yeah, and then they amp it up.
Blackhawks and Flyers are pregame here, which you should be listening to instead of watch. Well, you should watch the game, turn down the volume, then put on John and Troy.
Yeah.
And then first put your pregame on with Chris Bowden, which starts at 6:30.
Look, who isn't a fan of Foley? I think and Eddie O's got it on TV tonight.
Eddie O is back today,
and I like Conroy. I like Conroy when Conroy does it; he's great. So,
Eddie O will be back tonight with Doc. So here's what you do: one period you listen to the radio, one period you can go back to Eddie.
Because we're such
big fans of Eddie on the show, we'll allow it.
Yes.
But then you have to listen to the post-game show.
Just turn on the radio or your computer on WGN Radio in one room and have it on a TV in the other.
And we do stream all of the Blackhawks games on WGNRadio.com. So it's not just on the terrestrial side. So you can definitely listen to it on WGNRadio.com or on your app. And yeah, you can download the WGN Radio app. It's also on TuneIn, too. So we can get it all. It's all there for you. So 6:30 is our pregame tonight with Chris Bowden. John and Troy have the puck drop at 7.
Yeah.
This was fun.
Thank you. I had a great time.
And I think they have a decisive win tonight. I really do. I think so too.
I think you see a handful of goals. I see 4 or 5 goals tonight.
I'm going to go prediction. I'm going 6-2 Hawks. That's what I'm thinking.
6-2 Hawks. That's not bad.
You got one real quick?
Yeah, 5-1.
5-1 Hawks.
Look at that. Is there something at stake here? Perhaps an actual stake?
How about whoever loses has to dress up as Joffrey from Game of Thrones next week during the podcast?
So if I lose, do I just get the costume that you wore? That probably won't fit me.
I think it's still in the office, by the way. I think we still have one more day to return it. So
here's something interesting.
I'll put an extension out there.
There's an extension on a costume?
Yeah.
Am I going to have to like pay some kind of bounty for
the
costume?
No, I'll negotiate it.
All right.
It's on me.
All right. You have connections through the Cochran show.
So. Well, you know. We're big costume folks.
Flyers, by the way, 6-5-1. So similar to the Hawks being 5-5-2. So and look, if they lose tonight, the second winningest coach in NHL history and his team have a losing record if they lose tonight. So not good.
Yeah,
they definitely need to win tonight.
So it'll be a fun game to watch. I'm really curious to see how they come back and how they bounce back. And don't worry about the World Series; nobody cares.
Oh yeah,
it's Game 7. Nobody cares. Blackhawks hockey is way more.
It's only been an amazing series. I haven't gotten to watch like any of it. Just stuck going on at the house. I've not been able to watch World Series, but that's all right. Get to cover hockey. Life is good.
For Scott King, he is on the scene for us all the time. He goes to practices, he goes to games, he's there. And he also writes a blog, Chelsea Blogger. It's on WGNRadio.com/Blackhawks. Got a couple of recent posts up there from this week. You should give them a read. I am Mike Jacobson. I also work here at WGN Radio. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jacobson Radio, him at Scott King Media. And again, cannot emphasize it enough, please like us, love us, submit questions, Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. Again, for Scott, I'm Mike. We will talk to you next week.